us here? Or is it five?
So
it's five. And when you came, we knew very little about your personal life, except that clearly you're a prayer warrior and knowledgeable about Scripture and trusting in God's care. And all I really knew was that you'd had a difficult past and gave thanks to God for redeeming you from that past. I think that most of us have been polite in not asking you for more details than that. And now we get to hear the rest of the story. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Pastor.
Is it easier for you if I stay up here or if I go sit down?
It'll be okay. You can go ahead and sit down.
Okay.
Okay. Good morning. Even though I might be a little teary, I'm not sure how I'll be up here, but I thank the Lord for the opportunity that the pastor has given me to share my story. And I shared with a friend of mine this week that I would be doing this, and she said that when I deliver it, it won't be just my story anymore. And that helped me because she was saying that that it would be yours. She mentioned, well, I believe the Lord was letting me know that as a community of believers, what affects one person affects the others as well. And so, we thank God for victory, even through trials. I was born the youngest of three girls to a Christian family. My mother said that the Lord let her know around 2 years in advance that I would be born to their family and gave her my first name. I believe she said it was on a torn piece of paper. Before I was 5 years old, some of my relatives noticed some things about me. One thing was that I seemed to have an angry disposition. Even as an infant, I remember my aunt noticed that for some reason, she noticed as an infant, I was on her bed and sitting beside her, you know, which I wasn't really sitting as an infant. But she noticed that I looked at her arm and I looked at my arm and I wasn't happy. And so, she being of lighter complexion and I being darker complexion, I seem to have a problem with that. And I remember my mom saying that I wasn't bonding with her. She was shared with me this later on, maybe as a teenager or something, how I was back then as before 5 years old. And one of my sisters would say that I was getting into trouble every day. And during a revival-like church meeting, an invitation was given for anyone to come forward who wanted special prayer. My mother went forward, taking me with her. She, along with any others, were able to sit on the first row of seats. Mother, sitting there with me on her lap, requested help, and I just felt, well, Mom needed some help that she needed prayer about. And so she requested help that the devil be cast out of me. And so they simply, let's see, I have to kind of read my notes here. They simply verbally sent the devil away from me. It was probably that night when God let me know through a dream that I was hurting my mother. The next day, I let my mom know that, Mom, I don't want to hurt you. So that was my way of apologizing. And my parents noticed that I became a more cooperative child. And so I thank the Lord that my mother knew what to do, and so that was able to be dealt with before entering school. Throughout my childhood and teenage years, I was given many opportunities to learn about the teachings of the Bible. Music was and still is one needed way to help instill the teachings of the Bible. Various choir anthems and congregational songs helped to encourage my faith, hope, and joy in God. Having accepted Christ as my Savior around age 8, I was baptized. By the time I was a teenager, my parents, who were ministers, felt God was having them start a church plant on the other side of my hometown. They moved us to that area, to a house where they could have church services, including Sunday school, youth meetings, and revivals. And so I believe that I needed that because I needed all that I needed to get into the Word, but I didn't know back then how much I needed to get into the Word, that I would need it. When considering a college major, I was told to seek God to see what He wanted me to be. Since I would not have to declare my intended major right away, I had the opportunity to take some classes that would lead into possibly majoring into accounting, education, or nursing while continuing piano lessons. Finding that none of those majors were not, well, they weren't exactly for me, I was able to pursue music as a major. Although majoring in music was challenging, it was fun, and I knew that that's where God wanted me. After graduating from graduate school and working for 10 or more years, my health needed attention. The support system given me encouraged me to look to God for His path of healing for me. During that time, there seemed to be lots of Christian programs on the television that helped my faith in the Lord. The Great Physician miraculously in time provided me with health insurance and a medical doctor. In doing so, God not only improved my physical health, but even more importantly, improved my getting to know more about His abiding presence and Him as provider and shepherd. I met my husband-to-be at a Christian camp, and we both claimed to be Christians, although I was told that he did not know what it meant to be a Christian. Unfortunately, when entering marriage, I did not have the complete assurance that he's what God wanted for me, but did not seem strong enough to back out. I did not receive premarital counseling, partly due to my husband-to-be living in another part of the country, and my parents nor my pastor back then, well, they did not seem to feel qualified to give premarital counseling. My Christian community at that time did not seem healthy enough regarding cultivating deeper, healthy relationships that I believe God offers. Upon marrying, I realized that although in my upbringing I received a heavy dose of Christian training where the Word of God was taught, sung, and lived out, I could have used an even heavier amount of that Christian training. My parents' husband and I one day went to a revival in the area. My parents and I were familiar with the revivalist and his mother. There was an invitation for anyone who wanted to come forward for prayer. I went forward for prayer. The revivalist whispered in my ear, saying that there was a hole in my heart that only God could fill, and that he would, but it would be without my husband or my parents. So I said, I don't know what that's all about, but that's what he told me. Although it had already been made known to me that my husband had relational wounds from childhood, I did not know when I married him how deep were his wounds, nor how wide were the consequences from those wounds. A time came when I recognized that my husband was not getting along well with my parents. My husband and I lived on one side of their twinplex. Although they may not have told him, they suspected that he did not have my best interest at heart. After thinking about it, I realized their reasoning did make sense because I was noticing a takeover spirit was hindering a spirit of cooperation. I believe it was on one afternoon, I woke up finding myself lying across the bed when I had just been standing, listening to his threats. So I thought, how am I doing lying on the bed when last time I remember I was standing? Well, this was the first indication to me that he may be more familiar to the works of evil than that of good. It may have been that same day when my parents were visiting a relative and would be spending the night with that person. I slipped out that night while my husband was sleeping around 2 or 3 a.m. and drove to where my parents were visiting, letting them know I had to leave. I was able to go to a safe place the city provided while waiting to go to a domestic violence shelter. While there, I called my sister, who advised me not to ever neglect attending church services somewhere in the area. That Sunday, I went to a Presbyterian church and found the people friendly. During the service, they offered to anyone who wanted prayer to meet them in a room afterward. I went to that room and was able to share with them my situation. They were an encouragement. There was a Christian couple I knew that knew my situation and welcomed me into their home, whose location I kept secret. While staying with them, songs, tunes started coming to my awareness in the background of my mind as I went through the days there. And so these songs were maybe songs that I may have remembered people singing in church services. It may have been choir numbers, ensembles, but they were coming back to my remembrance, and it helped to encourage me. That couple had a hymnal, and so I was able to look up some of the songs and look up the lyrics. My hostess suggested we go to a church service in a neighboring state where people from around the country would be attending. We knew my husband would be there. He found out I was there and asked to sit with me during the service. He was trying to talk to me during the service, which was distracting, including to those who were leading. As a result, I was banned from returning. May that distracting spirit be the one cast out in Jesus' name instead of me being banned. Nevertheless, he did not bother me while we were separated, and he did not bother me at my workplace, but he did show up once. It may have been to see about him getting his things from the Twinplex. I asked him about a bad habit he had, which I didn't know about before we had married. He said it was due to a lack of security. I thought that was odd, but so I didn't understand it until I attended a helpful Christian-based class after moving to Richland County. But thank God there is security in Christ, and there is no security outside of Christ. But while I was still with that Christian couple, someone encouraged me to seek help from the courts, which I did. My husband was cooperative. There were some restrictions put upon him concerning me, which he did follow. I was given access to the couple's library, which included Christian books such as Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians. So as I read that book, I noticed that John Wesley was one of those Christians that was mentioned in that book. That couple was very hospitable, but I knew that eventually I would have to leave that home and knew of nowhere to go. My dad wanted me to return to my parents' home, but I was afraid for their safety. I felt I needed to do something. So I decided to contact my husband to make arrangements with a minister he knew who would be willing to provide marriage counseling. Now, I just want to mention that that was not a good idea. But that's what I did. And so we made, I guess at that time I might have thought it was a good idea, but anyway, we made plans to meet at a restaurant. My husband came by bus. The minister was not able to take charge. My husband took over the meeting and dismissed the minister and his wife, promising that we would continue the counseling, but at that minister's home. That's how we got back together, moving about 30 miles away to a city where my husband was raised. We were mostly in a motel until we rented an apartment. My hostess was disappointed in me, so was I, for God had not yet sent the complete help of wholeness that was needed. My husband and I did attend counseling once or twice. My husband seemed nice for a time. He also told me that if he ever mistreats me, to leave. Eventually, the other counseling appointments were canceled due to some excuse my husband had. I was still working at a Christian school, although it would take me longer to get there. I did not seem to have a Christian support group. And since I didn't, I asked two people who seemed to love the Lord to meet me for lunch as often as they could. They each picked days that would work for each person's schedule. We basically chatted on whatever topic. My intention, which I did not tell them, was for them to notice if I didn't seem to be doing well. They met with me until it was no longer convenient for them. The Lord also provided a Christian support person, an administrator at the school, who knew about my husband. She told me if I needed her help, to let her know. Thanks be to God. I remember one day my husband told me that he had a problem with pride. I knew that selfish pride was not a good thing. I was surprised at his statement, but did not know how to respond. God is the one who heals from relational wounds, but pride can cause trouble, since the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5 and James 4:6 that God sets himself in array against the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Once I recall him suggesting that we regularly studied the Bible together. Although that was a fantastic idea, I don't remember us doing so together regularly. Nevertheless, there were plenty of scriptures, including examples regarding pride and humility, and of people who had experienced relational wounds, whom God had helped and restored to a place where they could have the opportunity to be a blessing to many. This includes in the Bible Joseph and Job, David, when he had to hide from King Saul, and the list goes on. And Jesus, of course, would be on that list. We only seemed to pray together at meals or at church meetings. Even that can be better than not at all, but earnest prayer and the study of the scriptures were needed to stabilize us. I began to see his virtues were getting covered up by vices. It seemed as if the devil was claiming my husband for himself. He had addictions that I did not know about in advance, and he seemed to enjoy them. It seems that when a person pursues elsewhere in place of pursuing God, there is no peace for that person or for those closest to that person. Also, his devotion to his addictions seemed greater than my devotion to the true God. So that was checking me, that I need to step up here in my devotion to the true God. If I had not noticed before, I knew now for sure that I was in spiritual warfare. The devil considered me the devil's enemy. Whether I saw myself as a threat or not, my husband stopped attending church services with me. He changed the music on the radio to music that glorified death instead of life through Christ. One day, I thought to watch a Christian program on the television before heading out to the Sunday worship service. He put restrictions, I noticed, on which Christian programs I could watch. The one which he did let me watch turned out to be the one to watch. Thankfully, my husband was in another room while the TV evangelist at this time was Charles Stanley, described my situation. He said that Satan was systematically trying to gain ground from a toehold to a foothold until he gets a stronghold. So I was thinking about this, toehold. So I was thinking, well, the cursing, the music changing, the Christian programming was tightly restricted. And then I thought, well, foothold, this power and control using force. For one example, I was dragged from one room to another by my hair. And then there was the stronghold. And I thought, well, I don't want to get there, whatever that is. I felt I was transitioning from a foothold to a stronghold. I heard that message just in time. The Lord gave me a spirit of boldness, confidence in God instead of fear of the enemy, because God let me know through that message that he was fully aware of my situation. I believe it was later on that day my husband insisted on our going to play tennis. Since sports is not my forte, it would be an opportunity for me to be picked on. While on the tennis court, I perceived that trouble was brewing and prayed that one time, instead of running to get the missed ball, I would be able to run to the car and drive off quickly. Praise be to God for enabling me to get away. I knew it was not safe to return home. I contacted my pastor, who, by the way, now this pastor was in the city that we were currently living in, who, by the way, had said that in her pre-salvation years, she had introduced her city to drugs. My uncle, who used to pastor in that city, was instrumental in discipling her in following Christ. And my prayer is that her life be such that more are led to life in Christ than her pre-salvation years led to destruction. She directed me to the domestic violence shelter in that city where I stayed a few days. I also contacted that administrator who had previously offered her assistance if it were needed. With her help, I was able to get some things from the apartment. While I was waiting in my car to meet with her and the police escort, my husband called me, letting me know that he knew I was planning to get my things and that he would not obstruct. The police escort gave us something like 10 minutes, so I had to choose what I wanted and leave everything else. Some of the things I got from the apartment, I left in my closet at the job instead of taking everything to the shelter. The administrator felt that I would be okay in returning back to work. A few days later, on a Friday, which began a holiday weekend, I was abducted from the parking lot with the aid of his best man at our wedding. May God cause his friends to know and to stand for what is right in God's eyes, is my prayer. He sent his friend away when we arrived back at the apartment building. I screamed for help before entering into the apartment. Inside the apartment, I was given three options for the method of my decease. I chose one and looked up to God, who is the joy of my life. I prayed that he receive me. My husband let me know that I would be spared. The next day, we traveled to the campground where he would work occasionally. I felt free to walk about, for there were other people there, some who I knew. I felt that as long as they're having meetings there, and I felt I'd be okay. That's a safe place to be. But I didn't know what to do when the people go back home and so forth. There was a couple there that we both respected, and thanks be to God for couples like that. They were made known of our situation. I prayed that the Lord use them to help us. Well, after the holiday weekend, I would have to go back to work to return my grade book. And so, my husband was willing to let me do that. And so the Lord, in the meantime, put my rescue in motion. While my husband waited in the car, I went in one door of the school, which that door was immediately locked behind me. I turned in the grade book. I was questioned by the policeman and sent out through another door to a waiting car. So they were ready, and the Lord enabled them to help me. My husband had been detained at the car, and after being questioned, was eventually sent away without my car. The car was stored in someone's driveway until I received a call by the administrator some months after, to pick it up. In the meantime, I was driven to North Central Ohio. I didn't know where I was going. I just knew I needed to go from where I was. I didn't care. I needed to go someplace else. And so this is the area where they drove me to North Central Ohio. We then proceeded to a minister's apartment where I stayed for 4 months. And this minister had only been in the area for about 8 months herself. I was told that my assignment was to heal. I was also advised to keep a journal, which was probably part of the healing process, in addition to the following here. We generally had daily devotions. Since she had several music instruments, we each would choose an instrument to accompany our singing. Since she had had emotional wounds herself that had been addressed in her lifetime, I did not have to explain much to her. She knew the power of Christian music so that she could send the devil away that was trying to trouble us. There was one night that there was a call that came in, and it upset her. It had something to do with my uncle, and like my uncle was concerned about me, like, as far as my safety or whatever. She didn't totally explain, and I didn't quite understand, but it was troubling. And so she had me look in the hymnal for songs that talked about the blood, Jesus' blood having shed for us. And so So we just sang to, you know, as loud as we could to, in praise to God, and the Lord used that to set us free from that spirit of fear. So we were able to rest and go on. I was given access to her library, including her Bible software. I was given freedom to use her computer for journal writing on her word processor. I was advised to attend the meetings regarding domestic violence in the city. This was in Ashland. We attended Ontario Church of God. The administrator back at my old job let me know that, you know, it was about time that I would have to move on from staying with her, with that minister. I did not feel ready nor know where to would be the next move. So in the meantime, I may have stayed a little bit longer than what I needed to, but I also visited the Ashland Theological Seminary but the campus, it didn't seem to be anything there for me at that time. Thankfully, I was able to stay with another Christian couple for a few days, and this was in the Mansfield area, Lexington, Ontario. Next, I was able to stay at two shelters in Mansfield. The domestic violence shelter, and then the Harmony House. And from Harmony House, they had a program that people could go into transitional housing, and so they could stay there maybe up to 2 years. I was working as a substitute teacher. During my time in transitional housing, I had the joy of being in a life skills class where the teacher was a pastor, which reminded me of the biblical-based training. And so it further explained relational wounds and their recovery. The Lord enabled me through another Christian couple to be able to rent to own where I have been now for 14 years. My husband found out that I was in this area in 2009. He came to the Church of God. The Lord took care of everything, although I could tell that his emotional and spiritual healing still needed to be accomplished. So as I wait and pray for the Lord to minister to his needs. In the meantime, he's enabled me to write some Bible study courses and record a music CD of hymns on the piano. And some of that, well, that was part of the healing process as well for me. If the Lord wills, I hope to record from the list of songs that came to my mind through the years of this process that I've been going through. And so I want to be able to
have these ready. I have also had the opportunity to link some of the lyrics to scriptures, and I hope to do more of that. The Lord provided me with a piano. Somebody just out the blue one day said, "Would you like a piano?" Because I, of the things that I needed to get, I was not able to carry a piano with me. So I was without. The Lord provided me with a piano right in time for a job that would require me to have to practice. I cannot overemphasize the role God gave Christians and Christ-centered music as part of the healing process. And I want to repeat that. I cannot overemphasize the role God gave Christians and Christ-centered music as part of the healing process. I recommend Jesus. Bless his holy name.